I'd just like to go beyond Daniel to Hosea chapter 2. Hosea chapter 2. And this is a part of the animal and bird creation in the millennium. Chapter 2 of Hosea, verses 18 to 20. Hosea 2, 18 to 20. It's after Daniel. Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea. Chapter 2 and verse 18. In that day, you see that those three words a lot in these prophetic scriptures. In that day, at that time, that is a specific time appointed. It shall be in that day, verse 16 as well, in that day, verse 18, I will make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field. He's going to make a covenant with the animals. And with the birds of the air. And with the creeping things and little insects that we hardly spot in the ground. Bow and sword of battle I will shatter from the earth, to make them lie down safely. And I will betroth you, this is the Lord speaking to Israel through Hosea, it's the gospel to Israel here in the whole book. I'll betroth you to me forever, yes, I'll betroth you to me in righteousness and justice, in loving kindness and mercy. The whole theme in Hosea is Hesed, which means loving kindness, tender mercies to Israel. Wonderful book to study. I'll betroth you to me in faithfulness, and you shall know the Lord. Well, we could read on, but we won't do that. Wonderful, isn't it? Amos chapter 9 as well shows again the transformed earth. It will be again like the land of milk and honey flowing for Israel again. That's in Amos chapter 9, 13 to 15. So the Lord is ruling as King of Israel. He's the Lord over the whole earth. Things are completely changed. No war, all finished until the great white throne and just before when Satan is released, it's true. Go just back before Daniel to one verse in Ezekiel, which is what I've been saying just now. Ezekiel chapter 36. Ezekiel chapter 36 and look at verse 35. The whole earth will become like the Garden of Eden, as it was before the fall, before the curse, before sin came in. It's going to be like that again. The only difference is there will be death in the millennium. That's the only difference. Verse 35 of Ezekiel 36. They will say, this land that was desolate has become like the Garden of Eden, and the wasted, desolate, ruined cities are now fortified and inhabited. The nations which are left all around you shall know that I, the Lord, have rebuilt the ruined places, planted what was just. I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will do it. Verse 36, powerful indeed, yes. So here we've got the way in which we had the description. It concerns the agricultural transformation, the land flowing and the earth flowing, and even the waters flowing from under Jerusalem as well, in the new Jerusalem, that we'll look at next time. Longevity will be restored, people will live for a very long time. I'll go back to Isaiah 65 again, if you will. I just went to Ezekiel to show that it was like the Garden of Eden. Chapter 65 again of Isaiah. 65 of Isaiah, verses 19 and 20. I mentioned just now that a child shall die at 100 years of old. In other words, a person who's 100 will be considered a child, which proves that long age will be restored, longevity. Verse 19 and 20. I will rejoice in Jerusalem, because he's king, and joy in my people, whom you will redeem. The voice of weeping shall no longer be heard in her, nor the voice of crying, there were a lot of that. No more shall an infant from there live but a few days, nor an old man who has not fulfilled his days, for the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. There will be judgment and death, you see. Jesus is going to rule with a rod of iron, if need be. Psalm 2. So there you see longevity, long years, great age will be restored.
So if you die young, you've sinned and you're dying unsaved?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Because those who are saved will live forever. At the end of the millennium, those who are in the body will have a new body. Yep, a child should die 100 years old will be considered a child if he was 100. Which means if he's grown up, he could be 900.
So if they don't reach 100, they're not saved. Is that right?
Well, the idea is that if someone who's a sinner won't get to 100. One who's going to be a rebel against the Lord, or attempt to be a rebel, in his heart, the Lord knows.
So basically, if you die at all in the Millennium Kingdom, you're not saved.
He's a sinner. Seems that way, doesn't it? Mm. Someone who's active in rebellion in his heart and mind.
So all those that are saved, they go into in their normal bodies,
yeah?
Because they won't be changed, will they?
No, not.
They'll just live.
Because they'll have families, you see, in the human body, flesh and blood.
No, sorry, I think I've got some stuff here.
In the millennium, people who are saved in the tribulation and still survive the persecution will go in their earthly bodies into the millennium, in their fleshly body. You and I have spiritual.
They will live how many years?
Well, if they're saved, they live forever.
So they go right the way through
through the millennium in their earthly bodies. Because
right throne judgment, and then they're obviously.
Well, they won't see the great white throne, neither will we.
The point I'm trying to make there is their bodies are changed at the end of the millennium.
Ready for the new heaven and the new earth.
So that those that are saved in the tribulation time go into the
millennium
in their earthly bodies.
And have families.
And they go right the way through without.
Yes. Yes.
So it'll really go back to the days of.
Yeah, Methuselah lived 950 odd years old.
Yes.
Longevity is restored. Something will happen to their earthly body to make sure they live longer.
And they're the group in Revelation 20 verse 9 that don't have a resurrection that we can read of, but have one somewhere to go into eternity.
Yes, they will. We haven't been in Revelation 29. Perhaps we will just see what that does say.
Before Jesus rose Lazarus from the dead, he said that those that stand round might see that I'm the resurrection and the life. And he said, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live.
Yeah.
He that believeth in me shall never die.
That's dying the second death, as in Revelation.
Not going right through the millennium. Then.
No, it doesn't refer to that. He won't experience a second death. We may die, we're born again.
What I'm saying is those who get saved in the tribulation, they will never see physical death, will they?
Not if they're living.
When the Lord comes, they're saved.
They're saved.
They're going to the millennium, never see physical death.
No.
And at the end of the millennium, they'll be changed.
They change to a new body. That's right. Revelation 29, they went up. This is where the enemy, as we mentioned the other
Revelation
week, this is where the
20
verse 9, this is the enemy with the evil ones whom Satan gets hold of them to the final Gog and Magog war. It's so numerous, for end of verse 8. They went up to fight against the Lord and Jerusalem, and then fire came down from heaven to devour them and put them to death. This is the unsaved ones. They would have liked to rebel. They can rebel in the heart and mind, but they can't act because Satan is bound in the pit. So they can't actively physically sin, but they can think it, plan it. It's within, and the Lord knows.
So they won't be coming against the Lord with weapons in that time. When Satan is released for that time and brings them all together before they're devoured by fire. We're not talking about weapons here?
I don't know. They might try. They might make them secretly. Who knows? We don't know. We're not told. Can't say. The fight against the Lord must have some form of weaponry, I suppose. They might make them secretly, hide them. I don't know. Just use imagination, I suppose. Yeah, these are the rebels, you see. They come against the Lord. They're the unsaved ones that are born in the millennium.
So
and remain unsaved rebels.
So it goes back, obviously, to Genesis, where the Lord speaks about the every intent on the heart.
Yeah.
It's wicked.
As in John's Gospel, he knew what was in man.
Born with a sinful nature.
Yeah, exactly that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyone born in the flesh has a sinful nature.
Yeah.
But Satan can't get hold of it because he's bound in the pit for the millennium. Okay, let's move on then.
Don, there's
we have to watch the time. We're never going to finish tonight. That's
people that died before 100 years old.
Yeah.
They were put to death by the Lord of their own family.
No, by the Lord.
By the Lord.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Because their family will see their offspring not being saved as a curse to them, wouldn't they? They would see them as...
Well, there will be many people saved in the millennium, yeah, for sure. But that is all in the Lord's hands without a doubt. Okay, let's move on. And we'll finish in about 10 minutes and carry on next week, I think. We're nowhere near finished. Okay, well, it's good to chat and questions.
It is, actually. Yeah,
yeah, it's very, very important. And
it's your
becomes...
own fault, Don. You shouldn't know so much.
Oh, it's not me. It's everybody. Well, we're all called to study the Word. Anyway, let's move on. So longevity is restored here. We find that in chapter 65. Right? So again, praise and worship comes to the Lord. And that's in chapter 66. While we're there, look at one verse in chapter 66. Verse 23, chapter 66. This is where true worship is restored internationally. They'll all come up in Zechariah 14 from verse 16 onwards. They'll all have to come up to worship the Lord in the Feast of Jerusalem, the Feast of Tabernacles.
Is this Isaiah?
Isaiah 66, verse 23. It shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord. That's the same as the end of Zechariah chapter 14. That's how it's going to be. Now we look at many other scriptures, but we just won't have time to do it. But in Romans 8, where he speaks about the whole creation groans and travails until the whole creation is renewed again when the Lord comes. Now there are many scriptures one could turn to in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 to 7, chapter 24, we looked at chapter 33, chapter 52 we didn't see. Everything's going to be transformed. So when the Lord comes back, he's going to manifest his glory, and every eye will see him, Revelation 1, 7, and including those who pierced him. The glory is going to be earth-wide. Brilliant glory. So even when Jesus comes to Jerusalem, the glory is going to be shining worldwide. And they'll all know. They'll all know.
In verse 24 there.
Yes.
For the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Is that the lake of fire?
No, because they should go forth and look upon the corpses of men at the beginning of the verse. That will be the end of the tribulation period. When, as you know, in Revelation 19, the great supper of God, even when the birds of prey come and eat flesh. And the blood is going to be up the bridles of the horses. Such is going to be the death.
Is that literal blood up to the horses?
Yeah, yeah.
I know it's literal blood. What I mean is up to the bridle.
Well, that's what he says, yeah. That's
pretty well deep.
Millions are going to be put to death. Millions. Eventually, no one, as I said, who is unsaved will survive.
So what's 24 again?
That's chapter 66, verse 24. They should go forth and look upon the corpses of the men. You won't be able to see that in the lake of fire, will you? Or hell. You won't be able to see it. This is where, as the Lord comes, it would seem as though there will be the visible evidence of the Lord's judgment worldwide. No doubt it will be momentary. I think that is possibly... The Lord is saying, see how I judge sin when I come back? I must create peace on the earth. I've got to deal with everything that is not peaceful. I will deal with war and bring peace. I'll deal with rebellion and bring unity. This is the millennial transformation that comes. It's pretty awful, I agree. Or will we read the end of chapter 19 of Revelation? The birds of prey are going to gorge on human flesh. That's a horrible scene. No one's going to glorify that. That's horrific. But that's how it's going to be. No wonder people don't like to study the book of Revelation.
Yes.
Can't avoid it. And here there will be the tremendous manifestation of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ when he comes. I'm going to finish here by just one thing. The only time, you know this, the only time when Jesus revealed his glory was at the Transfiguration.
Yeah.
Let's just go back to a verse just before that in Matthew. Right, go forward from Isaiah to Matthew. And we'll stop there. We won't go on any further tonight. It's in Matthew chapter 17, but it's the verse at the end of chapter 16 I want. Yeah, chapter 17 of Matthew is the transfiguration experience. But the verse before, chapter 16, verse 28, is the one I want. Now, obviously, Peter and the other disciples have said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus took Peter, James and John up to the top, probably Mount Hermon, snow-covered, and he revealed himself, his whole clothing glistened, his glory shone out for him for the only time in his humanity at this time on the earth then. He was transfigured in verse 2, his face shone like the sun and his clothes became white as light. Now back in verse 28 of chapter 16, and we'll end now, assuredly, well let's go back to 27 in context. For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each one according to his works. This is the earthly scene. Assuredly I say to you, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. That is not future. That was immediate at the Transfiguration. They saw the glory of the King. And they had a glimpse of his promised kingdom in his person, in the glory of his person. The outshining brilliance of Shekinah was revealed once and once only. He hid it the rest of the time. He was revealing the glory that shall come in his kingdom when he comes to establish that kingdom. And they had a glimpse of it momentarily.
Is that why the cloud came down to the...
Yes, that was Shekinah glory, and the Father spoke, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that was a foretaste of that glory which is yet to come when he returns. Same with Matthew 24:31, he will come with, in his glory for his kingdom of all his holy angels. And in Matthew 25 also, where he judges the sheep and the goats when he's back. So in other words, this is going to be tremendous. Just to close, you remember Isaiah 6 when he was in the temple? And he saw the glory of the Lord fill the whole temple with smoke, and he felt so unclean in his presence and his cleansing. He saw the glory of the Lord. That glory was revealed then, and that glory will be revealed when the glory comes. And he comes in all his glory. We come back with him. We shall see all that. Absolutely tremendous. Here, we see here, the Lord will display his kingly dominion, his just government, his deity, his omniscience, he knows all things, his omnipotence, his great power, and his omnipresence. And in, you needn't go to, in Isaiah 11, verse 2, it says, he knows all things. And he'll bring all things that is planned and promised into being when he returns. And we come back with him. This is the beginning of our look into the renewed earth, the transformed earth, when the glory of the Son of God is coming to establish his reign as King of Israel and over the whole earth, transformed in every area of life. And the curse will be lifted. We'll look at that next time. Human government will be replaced by divine government. We'll look at that next time. Hallelujah. And the earth shall be full of the knowledge and the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. What a time that will be.
So even, you know, from believers going into the millennium, you know, who have children who do not believe, will still see this glory of the Lord and still not believe.
Mm-hmm.
even though this will be revealed to them as well.
Because they have the fallen nature, which is rebellious at heart.
But they really ought to think that they will see.
Yeah. That is why Satan will be released to get hold of these people to really show that fallen nature. Because then they'll rebel against the Lord and their true nature will be revealed. They may think, I'm fine in the millennium, this is glorious, I'm going to be all right. But the fallen nature will be exposed and tempted upon. When Satan is released, then that rebellious nature will take action. And then the Lord will destroy them.
So we're not going to have a society of open crime like we have now, are we? There's not going to be open sin. It's going to be very covert. It's something within people.
It's going to be peace. It's going to be love, because Satan is bound. No one can act sinfully. They can sin in their heart and the Lord will know. We deal with them. But there will be peace and joy. Well, you know the phrase, their weapons will be turned into plowshares, instruments of peace, agriculture. No weapons, no spears. Peace, millennial peace. And the Prince of Peace comes to reign in the city of peace, Jerusalem.
But they're still falling for the biggest lie. It doesn't matter, nobody knows, I'm thinking that.
But they can't act on it. But the Lord knows. Amen.